Coming to you live from, you know what, I'm not going to do that this week. I'm not going to do that this week. I'm just going to say, I am your co-host, Kevin Lenihan, and with me as always is John Ferris. John, not since we did Ghost Children has there been a topic that I have been so loath to create a fiction around.
You could just create a fiction of being Twitter, I suppose, or X, sorry.
Yeah.
That's where Nazis hang out now, isn't it?
That's their sort of mecca at the minute. That's where they all pray towards currently.
Yep.
We're doing films about people sort of going after Nazi war criminals.
Yeah.
Which, nothing wrong with the people going after the Nazi war criminals. That's completely reasonable. Do not misunderstand. But I don't want to create a silly little fiction about fucking Nazis, because I don't like them.
Yeah.
I don't think
what a brave stand.
I know. I'm so brave. I'm so brave to be the first person to come out and finally say it.
Actually,
I don't like them.
These days, it actually kind of does feel like it's a bit of a...
You feel like there's sort of a 30-70 chance somebody might take issue with you being like, go like, you know what, actually, the Nazis were, and you're like, you just need to go and sit in a room full of monoxide. Anyway. But anyway, John, right, so we're just going to get, let's just talk about the films.
Yeah.
So we've got three films all about Nazi war criminals. I mean, I kind of almost knew this was going to happen when we chose the topic, but I pushed it to the back of my head. And I was like, no, I'm fine. And I kind of wanted to read. There was one of these films I really wanted to watch again. And I was like, yeah, sure. And now that we're in it, it's like, well, it's too late now. It's the films we watched. And it's time to record. So here we go. So first up, from 1974, we have The Odessa File. The log line for that. Following the suicide of an elderly Jewish man, a journalist in possession of the man's diary investigates the alleged sighting of a former SS captain who commanded a concentration camp during World War II. Ooh. All right. It's directed by Ronald Neame. I think I completely messed up my whole system there. I usually say the director first, but here we go. We'll do that for this one. So, from 1976, directed by John Schlesinger, someone whose films we have investigated before on this show, we have... The Marathon. Well, it's just Marathon Man. I think there's no the.
Yeah.
In it.
Yeah.
It's just Marathon Man. The log line for that. After the shocking murder of his older brother, a New York history student finds himself inexplicably hounded by shadowy government agents on the trail of a Nazi war criminal who's trying to retrieve smuggled diamonds.
Ooh.
And then, from 1978, directed by Franklin J. Schaffner. We have The Boys from Brazil. The log line for that. A Nazi hunter in Paraguay discovers a sinister, bizarre plot to rekindle the Third Reich. Ah.
What a twat.
All right. Indeed. A little twat in Paraguay. We'll get to that when we talk about the film.
Yep, yeah.
Gutenberg! Anyway, let's sit down and watch these movies. Right, again, I'm not going to do the thing where I talk about whatever it is. I mean, I'm off, again, once again, I'm all for defeating Nazis, John. Let's just run with that fiction that is sort of reality, that we are sort of like, if the opportunity comes up for us to defeat some Nazis,
it would be kind of nice to know that, because as we already said, it seems there is an abundance of them these days.
Yeah, an abundance of people who don't seem to mind...
Yeah,
letting people know, but then maybe hating the word being applied to them, which is
I'm not a Nazi,
funny.
But
now listen to me. Yeah, it used to be their coda used to be, listen, I'm not a racist, but, and now it's, well, I'm not a Nazi, but I espouse all of their beliefs. Okay, cool. I'm not an official member of the Nazi Party, so you can't call me that. Fuck you. Anyway, yes, we're not going to hide our hatred for them. But anyway, John, The Odessa File from 1974 is where all these films came out, like, within, like, 2 years of each other in this spread in the 70s. There's actually a couple of other films as well came out around this time about the same thing. There was a real spate of them. around this time. I think it was mostly because at the beginning of the 70s, it was sort of like, I mean, during like the 50s and 60s, there was a lot of like intermittently, you know, actual war crimes, trials and stuff. Yeah. And they kind of never really stopped.
I mean, it was part of the zeitgeist of the time in that sense, to know that enough time had passed where you could kind of take a sillier approach as some of these movies
only just enough time probably at that point. There's that South Park rule about something being like 24.3 years or something until something's funny.
We can joke about AIDS now.
And you're like, I guess, but this is more sort of dramatizing in a sort of trying to make an exciting action-y kind of thriller around this kind of thing. And also around like people who were actually doing this kind of stuff still at the time and still kind of do it today. We're kind of at the point now we're running out of Nazis as original Nazis. Man, I've tried really hard not to make this stupid, but it always comes back on me. But, you know, like a lot of people who fought in the Second World War and were of age during that time are all rather old. Any ones that are still around are not really around anymore. But there was sort of a big push actually there in the early 2000s to get a lot of them. And they did, because they were all like in their 80s and 90s at that point. So there's actually a very good documentary about a really late war crime trial called, I think it was The Devil Next Door, I think it's called, about this notorious sort of prison guard or guard at a concentration camp that was, who is denying all along that he is the guy. And the documentary is all about like, is he or is he not? Are they prosecuting an innocent man here? That was a very good one. But anyway, the Odessa File, this is the most sort of, I feel like this is the most sort of spy thrillery of our three films. This one's definitely in the Jean Le Carré mold of like someone like trying to infiltrate and go undercover in a bookish kind of way into an organization. So, John, what did you think of Ronald Neame's The Odessa File?
I think it has kind of like a rough start in certain ways, but once it kind of gets the tram on the rails, it really is great after that.
Yeah.
Once it kind of finds its way, there's a bit of like clunky dialogue and stuff, particularly between the main character and his girlfriend.
Oh god.
Where they're like, it's that show don't tell thing of like, he literally says, "Oh, I'm very tenacious and and I'm something else, like, you know, ambitious." And you're like going, "What the fuck? Like, you know, don't tell us that." Like, no one says that about themselves unless they're in a job interview.
Yeah, they could have had someone else tell him he was tenacious, but even then,
or show it even better, kind of show like a wee bit of. But as I say, like that's real, like early point of the movie, and I think it kind of finds its way fairly quickly, and then the whole intrigue of the diary and all this and kind of his obsession with it, which kind of at first you don't really understand, okay, why is he taking it to this extreme, because he puts himself into harm's way quite a lot.
He really does some stuff that, like, I mean, it's like he's doing the investigative journalist thing, but he does a really dumb thing though. Like there's a part where he goes to a congregation of like, and when he sees the invite on this guy's desk, and he sees the date and time of this event that's happening, and he doesn't necessarily know that this guy is a Nazi, but he's like, I don't trust you, and you're not taking this seriously. It's like, it's the guy who's sort of in charge of the prosecutions, isn't it? Which is weird. And he sort of sees a thing and he thinks, oh, it's a bit weird that he's going to this seemingly traditionalist event.
Yeah.
And goes along to it. And then, of course, it's basically a Nazi convention where they're all congratulating themselves on shipping in this Nazi that they've managed to smuggle into the club. And he does the stupidest thing where he pulls out his friggin' camera in the middle of it with the flash turned on.
Of course. Yeah,
and ka-ching!
Even though the room's completely fully lit. And
he doesn't need the flash, like, but he's got the flash on just to let everyone know, hey, everybody, I'm spying on you.
Yeah, that scene kind of gives you the same feeling as the part in Roald Dahl's The Witches, where the kids are spying on the witches meeting.
And you're like, they're terrible.
It's like, uh-oh, you're going to get caught here.
Yeah, you know where it's going from the moment they go in there. Yeah, you're like, right, well, this guy's... Well, he does make it out, but he doesn't make it out well.
Yeah.
You know, but... Yeah, I think this film, it's after that point that this film really starts to pick up.
Yeah.
Because it is very slow and plodding before that, and you're kind of like... It hasn't really got to its plot. Mm-hmm. You get this feeling that the plot's going on in the background, and you're like, yeah, he just hasn't zeroed in on the thing. And as soon as he does, as soon as he gets all like his tenaciously all in committed.
As soon as his main character trait comes into the foreground.
I know, after him talking about it. Yeah. Now I don't know how good the accents are, because it's John White,
the
and
accents
he's American.
The accents are all over the place.
He's pretending to be German, and some people aren't doing accents, and some people are. It's kind of got that Hunt for Red October / Valkyrie problem.
Yeah.
Of like, I think these people are supposed to be speaking German because they're speaking in German accents.
Yep.
To each other.
Because his mate in the police is basically talking with like an English accent at times, unless he just keeps fucking up the accent. Because at one point when they first go to the house of the old man who committed suicide, he comes out and like goes, oh, don't waste your time and all, and going, oh, is this in England? And then I'd seen the street signs, I was like, nope, it's definitely not England.
See, I was wondering, because it's like West Berlin, that maybe there's a sort of, as far as official presence goes, you might expect there to be British people. And Americans acting in official capacities.
Yeah.
Because that was sort of like this weird sort of occupied territory.
Yeah.
In the middle of Soviet Germany. Soviet-run Germany. You know, you had like that half of Berlin, and it was like... I mean, mostly it was German people doing the work, but there were a lot of like British and American officials.
Yeah.
Then, so I could buy that. I was okay with that. But at the same time, I was kind of in a quandary of like... John Voight is doing an accent, and I know he's not German, but these other people aren't, and I don't know. But once we get to fake mustaches, it's all great. I loved all that shit in this movie. Yep. All that shit with like him like training to be a spy and stuff. Yep. Over these like what ostensibly seems like it's like weeks or months.
Yes. Yeah. Definitely.
It's hard to get a handle on the time.
It kind of feels like the time passes a bit quickly at that point, but
yeah,
it still does the legwork at least to kind of go, yeah, he's ready kind of thing.
Aye, yeah.
Like they haven't just like plucked him out of the streets and went, you okay going undercover here? And I'm going, aye, sure, why not?
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, this film is, I really... really liked this film quite a bit. By the time it got going, I was like, oh, I am all in on this.
Yep.
This is class. I hated all of the horrible Nazi people are played really well and really hatefully. And there's just so many great scenes of like, oh, don't trust him. Oh, don't trust him. Oh, no, don't trust that guy. No, don't trust him. What are you doing? Don't trust her. What? There's so much of that, and so much of like, once he's undercover, and you're like, they make it seem like he's going to be great at it, and they take so much time to do it, and then it doesn't come to very much. It comes to like one or two meetings, and then he's kind of rumbled all very, very quickly.
Kind of I was going to say kind of stupidly on his part, but as well, you can kind of understand why, you know, the kind of way he gets caught in a sense is like he rings his girlfriend just to kind of almost reassure her, but they haven't spoke to each other in a while, and you kind of go, okay, I can understand that as well.
Yeah.
Like he doesn't think she's been hounded as much as she is, and like she literally has an enforcer or someone like staying with her.
Yeah, she has theoretically checking her someone calls. Who they think who is ostensibly from the police,
yeah,
but is actually from the Nazis.
Yeah.
Living in the flat with her, keeping an eye on her. Yeah, the way they sort of figure out, like, yep, he was on the phone at this time. And then she's like, yeah, the phone rang in the flat at that time. I was like, well, all that training and all that stuff that they took so long, which I really did enjoy when they were like hiding out up in, I don't know, was it up in the Alps or something? So it was somewhere very picturesque anyway that they were at. But yeah, it's very good. And I hate all the Nazis and they're all bad guys. They're all played really, really well.
And it's a very tense scene whenever he does go undercover and the guy's kind of grilling him over, you know, where were you stationed, and starts asking like, what were the facilities like, and what did you see when you looked up into the sky? And it's like, what?
Yeah, and you're like, wait a minute, is he going to know this? Because I don't remember them mentioning anything about this during the training montage. You know, is it, I assume there's a mountain or something.
Yeah, there was like a church or something that he mentions. And
yeah, there was a church up on a hill or something near the camp. Yeah, it's friggin' ridiculous. A lot of that stuff, but it's... it is played a bit like this is the almost the least serious of them, even though it is serious, but it's the least sort of like dwelling on the crimes of the Nazis one, I think, out of all three of these.
I don't know, I'd say the Boys from Brazil's not taking itself as seriously as this.
It doesn't. Yeah, it has the the Boys from Brazil has a sci-fi edge.
It's like a pulpy novel type thing.
Yeah.
Whereas this feels more. Yes, it's more the like spy drama.
Yeah.
Type of thing, but it's definitely like once it goes through the diary.
Yeah.
I think those parts are really quite poignant at times. And it's trying, it's trying to show you why, John Voight's character takes such an interest and has such a personal kind of input into this case.
Yeah.
I think that kind of works pretty well. But yeah, it's still not like obviously taking itself 100% seriously. It's not.
It's got a wee bit of silly spycraft in it. It's not quite Mission Impossible levels, but I was expecting them to start pulling out funny little devices and stuff here and there, you know, but it never quite gets there. I thought it was great. I think I love that, like, the sort of ending sort of portion of the film I liked quite a lot. Him like sort of physically defeating these guys. Is something very nasty happens to someone on a printing press that I did not expect to see. Because it was from the 70s, and I was like, they do show you a shot of it, and I was like, oh, he's like all up, all like that's all through him. That's bad crack. That is, but yeah, it's got great intrigue and cool spycraft and all that stuff, and it was. Again, we were talking about films about this kind of thing, saying that it was fun feels a little like. Dodgy or whatever
it is, but it also has that satisfying thing of like they catch all these fucking asshole Nazis who are trying to hide from what they did, and like even it's, I mean, minor spoiler, but like the main one that he's after, you know, he catches and confronts face to face, and there's something kind of nice that you don't get in the real world, because there's a lot of these bastard fucking Nazis have lived lives that they never got caught, and they've died happily in their beds, and that is a fucking travesty to know that these fuckers got away with it, essentially. But that's reality. It's kind of nice to see, this Odessa file gets kind of revealed to the good guys, and all these cunts get what they deserve. If only that was true.
Yeah, the sort of confrontation scene where he reads him the riot act at gunpoint.
And like that guy tries so many different ways to get out of it, where like he tries reasoning with him and like, you know, saying like, look how strong you are, that's because of us and all this. And then when he sees that doesn't, he's like begging at times and then weaseling his way out of it. And like, oh, it wasn't me, it was this other fella. And like, he's such a fucking slimy piece of shit, which again goes back to what you said. They do a fantastic job playing these characters.
Yeah.
He's such a shitbag. He's such a horrible shitbag.
Yeah, that's what I expect from Nazis, because they're all kind of like that.
Yep.
They were all scummy, sleazy. A lot of them were cards.
Like, doing the usual of, like, I was just following orders. And it's like, no, you fucking weren't, you hateful bastard.
No one told you to do that.
Yeah.
All right. And even if that guy did tell you to do that, you probably should have just shot him.
And you took a perverse pleasure in it as well. Aye. You know, which, okay, we see in the flashbacks, and John Voight's character wouldn't have known, but it kind of feels like the old man's diary was very descriptive and very...
Yeah, you get the idea that, like, he was, the way he wrote it is what kind of, like, triggers something in him, where it's like, oh no, like, yeah, like, really, like, paints a picture of this, was it Rochman, is it?
Yes,
the guy's
real
name that he's going by. He's a fucking piece of shit. Absolute nightmare of a guy, like.
Yep.
Played by, was it Maximilian Schell, who I recognized immediately, but I wasn't sure why. But then I realized he's in John Carpenter's Vampires, which was like the first film we ever did with this
brilliant,
show.
Brilliant.
Yeah. He was in that. Oh, no, I was like, is that really what I recognize him from? And then I just felt bad for him.
Yeah, well, you know what?
He's probably been in a...
Yeah, it's probably better to be recognized for that than for being a Nazi. For doing a really good job
for
of being
doing
a Nazi.
Really good job of playing a Nazi.
Because I always feel bad for, like, there's certain, like, people get recognized only for, like, this horrendous bad character in the sense of, like, just evil to the core type of character, and they just get recognized as that forever. And there's a lot of stupid people who don't realize the actor isn't the same as the character.
Yeah.
Like, the one that stands out for me in my head is the young lad who played King Joffrey in the Game of Thrones thing, and he got tormented.
He got a
apparently,
lot of stick, like,
he's a lovely fella. Apparently, everyone says
all right.
And you're like, going, of course he is, because he's not going to be a shitbag like that fucker.
Yeah, nobody would be. Well,
some people might be, because you get the opposite as well. You get fucking actors playing really nice guys who turn out to be, the actor turns out to be a shitbag.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
But played really goddamn well by Maximilian Schell.
Yeah.
He's fucking brilliant as this hateful Nazi. absolutely great. So yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed this film.
Yeah.
I actually watched it last out of all of these films.
Same
but,
here.
Yeah. And I was like, and I hadn't seen this one, I hadn't seen before. I'd seen the other two before, but I hadn't seen this one before. And at the beginning of it, I was a little bit like, oh God, I don't know.
Yeah.
But then once the spycraft kicked in, I was like, this is actually really good. And then I was glued to it. You know,
the only other negative I have for it is sometimes the music seemed really out of place and kind of
inappropriate.
Where it was like, what the fuck's going on? Like, but
I don't know.
Again, another kind of minor thing. I did like that there was like literally no sound when he was sneaking about. As ridiculous as that is in an old wooden creaky house. Like,
yeah.
But the tension was really palpable as when he's trying to, like, sneak about and you just hear nothing, absolutely nothing.
Yeah, as a function of the storytelling, it was pretty good.
Yeah.
As a function of, well, actually...
Have you ever tried to walk downstairs quietly?
I have, and it's never worked. I always think that in movies when someone's going down or up some stairs and there's no big, random, big, loud creaks on that one stair that is always there. Yeah. But no, this film's really good. I would recommend it. If anybody wants to watch a Nazi hunting movie.
Yeah, I mean,
this is a pretty good one. And it has a pretty, which I think is important in a film like this, it does have a fairly satisfying conclusion as well.
I mean, we probably should have said spoiler warns, but I think it's kind of, I think it's clear that the Odessa file is going to get found.
Yeah.
In it, like, it for some reason...
It's the name of the movie.
Yeah, it's the name of the movie. It'd be such a downer if he, like, he didn't find it. It's just like, it just ends. It's like, no, they got away with it. Like
imagine brilliant. You went to see The Empire Strikes Back, and then you were at the end of the movie, and you were like, the Empire never struck back at anybody in that? What was that all about? It was like, it's the title of the film, yeah. Right? It's, okay. So yeah, I think John Voight does a really good job of, again, I don't know if his accent's bad or not, but I feel like it might be.
I think his accent's shite. I think it
might be half-assed.
I think it kind of comes and goes.
Yeah.
And he probably didn't have, it just seems like they didn't have like an actual like vocal coach or anything. It was probably just like, can you do a German accent? Yeah, probably.
I always wonder about things like that where they cast like an American to do something like that, and then they have like maybe three or four people acting around them who have that native accent, and I wonder how those people feel about that kind of thing. You know, it's like every time I hear someone who's not from Northern Ireland doing a Northern Ireland accent and something, I'm like, oh, and sometimes even people who are from Northern Ireland, and they're like trying to like amp it up, and they sound awful. It doesn't sound real.
Yeah, they like it's real put on.
Yeah,
like it sounds really like an AI doing it or something.
Yeah. It's like every time I hear James Nesbitt and anything, I'm like, oh, don't do that.
But so here be's me. I tell him to go fuck himself. So
listen, Frodo or Bilbo. So it was Bilbo in that one, wasn't it?
The
dreaded Hobbit movies he was in. That wasn't his fault that they were so bad.
No, they were
just fucking shite. Or Richard Gere. If you want to hear a really good, not good accent, Richard Gere in The Jackal. Where I think he's supposed to be a guy from the Falls Road. And it's like,
I don't rate Richard Gere's acting at all.
Oh, no, I wouldn't either. I have liked one or two films he's been in, sort of.
Despite him.
Despite him. I think I remember really liking, was it The Mothman?
Oh, The Mothman Prophecies? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's like the serial killer one, isn't it? Or something?
No, he's investigating actual Mothman sightings.
Oh, right.
Before disasters. It's not actually. You'd think it was from the title.
Yeah. There's I might be thing, mixing it up with something else. Or no,
you might be thinking of the Silence of the Lambs killer.
Yeah.
Because he's all about putting moths in people's throats.
Oh, yeah.
He puts like death's head moths in people's throats. Anyway, we really went off on a tangent there about Richard Gere for some reason, because I don't want to talk about Nazis. But that's the bed we've made this week. So, yeah, we like the Odessa File quite a bit. We had some fun spycraft and some good Nazis. I feel like the inflection, I understand the inflection on the word good is well played. All right.
I want to cut that out and use it.
Please don't. But anyway, yes, we're just going to have to move on and get through these, because otherwise I'm just going to keep putting my foot in my mouth.
Yep. All right,
let's talk about Marathon Man. All right, John, I've got a question for you.
No, dear.
Is it safe?
It's never safe.
But, John, is it safe?
I don't know what you mean.
Is it safe?
What do you mean?
Is it safe?
Yes. No.
Is it safe? Yay, the Marathon Man. Oh, more Nazis.
Yeah.
What have we done? Okay, I'll read the log line for the Marathon Man. Anyway, directed by John Schlesinger, who did Midnight Cowboy, which is a fucking fantastic film.
Yeah.
It's great. Pacific Heights as well, which is a film. We haven't watched that for this.
Yeah.
But Pacific Heights, I really liked. It's Michael Keaton plays a fucking psycho in it, and he's absolutely brilliant. But anyway, I will read the logline for Marathon Man. After the shocking murder of his older brother, a New York history student... Oh, God, excuse me. This topic's making me ill. After the shocking murder of his older brother, a New York history student finds himself inexplicably hounded by shadowy government agents on the trail of a Nazi war criminal who's trying to retrieve smuggled diamonds. John, what did you think of Laurence Olivier in John Schlesinger's Marathon Man?
He's brilliant in it. He's
fucking phenomenal in this.
Scurly good in it. And it's going to be weird when we look at him, because he's also in the Boys from Brazil, as a very different character.
Yep.
Like polar opposite. But
there's actually a few crossovers from the Odessa file. There is the guy who plays the general.
Yes.
That has showed up to give a speech is in The Boys from Brazil as well.
Yep.
So there's a lot of crossover with the actors in these films. But yeah.
Even just physically, Laurence Olivier looks completely different in this movie. Yeah. And like 2 years later, he's in The Boys from Brazil and unrecognizable.
Completely. But it took me looking at the IMDb to be like, holy shit, that was Laurence Olivier.
Yeah.
I knew he was in Marathon Man, but in The Boys from Brazil, I was like, I didn't realize that was him.
Yep. Yeah,
yeah. He pulled a Vincent D'Onofrio on me, is what he did.
But I kind of have the same, problem with this movie as I had with the Odessa file, and that I find the start of it, I find this one's worse. I find the first half of this movie is really bad at kind of feeding the information of. I kind of knew what was happening in a sense because I'd seen this movie before.
Yeah,
but I was still going with, I'm like mixing it up with other movies and like going, I'm not really sure what's happening or who that guy is. Like, you know, even the fact like you're not kind of told that Rob Schneider is Dustin Hoffman's brother in that until much later. So you're kind of going,
John, I strongly agree.
Yeah.
John, like, I strongly agree that the first half of this film isn't great.
It's a mess. It doesn't like, kind of tell you anything. It's kind of jumping from these characters who seemingly have no connection. Now, later you find out they do, and you find out why all this is happening, but really bad storytelling in that sense. But the second half is fucking great.
It's so good. Once this film gets going, it gets going.
But it literally takes half the movie, because I checked, and then I was kind of going, I was so confused. It's like, I remember liking this movie.
And you didn't know why, and then you were reminded why later. Yeah.
Like,
I understand, yes.
Whenever there's a scene, again, minor spoilers, but we kind of need to hit some of these things, but whenever he's taking a bath and like an intruder comes into his house and he's trying to kind of get away, but the bath is really like the bathroom's really small, the window's like tiny, and it's this wild panic trying to like you really get the sense that he's trying to work out, like improvise and work out what can I do. I can't
you're
get out.
Looking at it yourself. I need a weapon.
What I do, and like it's so fucking tense. It's so good.
Yeah, it's really really good. Like the thing I most want to talk about in this movie is actually just Laurence Olivier and all the stuff around him, and it's all quite spoilery. All the stuff that really sticks with me, it's the final sort of quarter of the film almost, with all the stuff happening around him that I find both frustrating and extremely moving. Not specifically about him, but
people around him. He's a monster.
He's an absolute unforgivable bag of aching shit.
Yeah.
They've kind of seemed to have almost based like a bit of Joseph Mengele in there with him.
Definitely.
They're definitely going for that.
Yeah.
But also like there's this whole other level of, it's just, it's so disgustingly insidiously horrible, and you think it almost seems cartoonish in your head that someone would have made their money or have their money this particular way until you realize that it's all based on like real things, real people, and it makes it so much more horrible. You're like, people did this, people did that, people did take bribes from people and money from people and maybe made them promises and didn't follow through on them, or harvested their corpses for valuables that mm-hmm. were maybe attached to them. You know, things like that. Absolutely just vile practices.
Yep.
War profiteering in a way that is war crime profiteering.
Yeah.
Which is so much worse. Like, war profiteering is bad, but war crime profiteering is so much more personal and horrible. They do just such a good job of making you hate this man.
Yeah.
Not that it's that difficult to hate someone no. like that. But yeah, that's the second half. The first half is very Dustbin Hoffman is just floating around the place being confused and a bit annoying, to be honest.
And like kind of pointless.
He irritates me for yeah, the first half yeah, of the film.
He's kind of a bit of a twat.
He is. He's an abrasive, rude knob,
yeah.
is what he is. To the point where I'm like, you know what? His character almost seems like it's based on someone who actually might be on the spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like they're not acknowledging that because that's not something that was even acknowledged then. But maybe they've loosely based him on someone like that.
Yeah.
But without any of the sympathetic qualities that a character like that might have. Because I do just find him so obnoxious.
Yeah.
That he does some shit in the latter half of the film that I fully support. And I'm extremely happy that he does.
Oh, yeah.
But he's such a dick. Like, I was, again, for the first half of this film, I was, again, much like yourself, I was like, I do remember liking this, but I hate this guy, and I hate everyone around him, and I hate the way
and what's
he's
happening?
Acting.
Who's this guy, and why does it? Why, how does he get involved in this later? I can't remember. This
yeah,
seems
is he
kind
even
of
important? Yeah. This guy seems like he's not up to anything, and then, like, oh, okay. And, yeah, but there's just, like, as soon as they get into the, is it safe? That bit, yeah. I still love that. I still love that. I mean, yeah. It's horrible, but I think it's brilliant.
It's like a simplistic torture scene, and that,
yeah.
You know,
it's not gratuitous.
Yeah, like I think a lot of, like, if this was made today, they would like be going, oh, we'll have right. to, you know, get in there, and he has to be really tortured.
Oh, like,
and
Eli
to,
Roth,
yeah, like,
hostile,
you know,
let's show the inside of the mouth and pulling his teeth out or whatever it is, yeah. drilling into his teeth. Oh. But it's just him talking about
yeah.
it, and then later it cuts to later, and then you sort of know what's happened,
yeah.
and you're like, oh god, and like I was getting sympathy pains in my mouth from them talking about it, and I was like, that's absolutely dreadful. So it really got me. From there on, that film is just, this film is great.
Yeah.
And there is just, like, there's so many, there's a few real, like, heart-rending moments. One in particular, when our Nazi goes to, like, get his jewels, his ill-gotten diamonds priced.
Yeah.
There's a whole sequence there that I just find absolutely infuriating and just gut-wrenching and rage-inducing in the banal, and it's fantastically well done.
Yeah,
there's just this woman who recognizes him.
Mm-hmm.
She's got the little tattoo on her arm of the number from the concentration camp.
Yeah,
and she's like, "You," and he's like, "Ah," and she's screaming and screaming, and she's on the other side of the street, and everyone's just kind of looking at her like she's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And she's roaring and screaming. That's
such a powerful scene. And then,
yeah.
Then another person recognizes him, and
yeah, even worse.
It's so good though, because like the panic that, like, Laurence Olivier is phenomenal in that scene. Like the sheer panic that he's gonna get caught out, that people are gonna find out who he is. It's like, you cowardly fucker, like, you know,
you nasty, shitey wee fucker.
Yeah.
Is all I could think.
Yep.
At the end of that scene, you shitey, nasty little fuck.
And plus the woman playing that character, and the guy who also ends up joining when he recognizes, they're brilliant as well, because they're such like, it feels real, like,
yeah,
the distress that she shows, and this like this panic of like, stop him, like, he's a fucking monster,
he's a
like
monster.
Oh, it's yeah, it is. It's so frustrating, and it goes back to what I said earlier of, like, you know, most of these fuckers got away with this in the end. It's that's the reality that you kind of don't really want to think of, but...
Yeah, that's the unfortunately fantasy element of all three of these movies, is the idea that these wastes of skin somehow might get a comeuppance.
Yeah.
You know, and it is kind of, you know, they do explore it. They explore the sort of prevalence of that in the next film a lot, of the idea that, like, a lot of people have gone unpunished, and they're like, you know, it's not a revelation to people that that's going on. But it, again, and it, it is just kind of a, almost a power fantasy thing. It's like in video games when they like have you ramp up, and then at the end of the game, you're like a monster just destroying everything, you know? That's kind of, this film kind of does that with the vengeance on the Nazi thing.
Yeah.
Which I don't want to necessarily talk about that particular scene. The other scene towards the end when he is getting his sort of comeuppance. Because it is kind of the climax, really.
Yeah,
in
yeah, we'll leave that for the latter part of
so
the podcast.
We'll talk about that in the spoiler section at the end, but that's my favorite bit. Apart from this, those are my two favorite points, is this part where he is recognized on the streets of New York by someone. And it is just like, I was so fucking mad. And I was so enraptured at the same time by the film. It was phenomenal. And then that, yeah, that was the definitely the point where I was like, yeah, this film is great. The pacing is, it has huge pacing problems in the early goings, even more so than the Odessa file has. But it really just gathers it all back in the second half. And it is so good. There's lots of like, there's some great running around on the streets, chase stuff and stuff like that, which is all kind of fun.
Yeah.
But the important stuff, it's the character moments that are really, really the most powerful.
Yeah.
In the film.
I do have like a few issues with and it's probably just me. These wee things where like I kind of find it a bit silly. Whenever they do the like chalk outline thing of the dead body, but it's not chalk. They have the tape dot, like the tape, and it just, I instantly just think of Naked Gun now when I see that shit. Where
that's the thing,
like,
as well.
It doesn't. Like, no one does that.
It's not
that.
Real. Yeah. It's a thing that was made up for like cartoons.
Yeah, and it's
comic books.
It's maybe unfair for me to like say it for a movie in the '70s where it's like it's just part of the movie language back then or whatever, but. It really stands out and makes me kind of just laugh.
You're expecting Frank Drebin to come dandering in and step on some piece of evidence and go, what do we got here, Frank?
It literally makes me think of the one, I can't remember what Naked Gun movie, but where the chalk outline
it's
on the water.
It's the first one. It's the first one in Nordberg goes in the water and it's floating there and it's fucking pitch perfect.
So it kind of, you know, it takes me out of this, which is going for a more serious tone, and I'm sitting there going, I'm just thinking of Frank Drebin here now.
I'm glad we're talking about Naked Gun, because it is nice to bring a bit of levity to the proceedings, because it is otherwise relentlessly miserable in a lot of ways, all of these films are, because by virtue of the subject matter. But I think this, again, starts not great. The middle is kind of like, this is ramping up. And I love like the last 20 minutes or so, I think is just brilliant.
Yeah.
Absolutely brilliant. Dustbin's playing his character quite well. And Laurence Olivier is doing very well. And Roy Scheider is grand, playing he seems like, it's hard to know whether to like him or not.
Yeah.
Because as you find out, you kind of get the idea that maybe he kind of has a certain, he is maybe a decent guy at a certain point, where maybe that's the reason he meets his sticky end.
Yeah.
That maybe he was maybe actually trying to do a decent thing at a certain point.
I mean, I think he was,
Because you get implied, because there's a certain point where it's implied that like, your brother was helping Nazi war criminals. Yeah. In exchange for secrets and stuff like that. And then as you slowly, you get a wee bit more information from his scumbag partner. He is a scumbag. Yep. That guy's a scumbag. His brother's partner is a scumbag.
Definitely.
But you get the idea that, well, the reason your brother actually got killed and the reason that you've been sent on this fucking adventure of doom is because your brother actually was like, oh no, hold on, I can't let this stand.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna let this motherfucker, you know,
it's like
take this much advantage of this.
Like, it would have been nicer if they had have explored his character more at the beginning and kind of seen this. Like, don't you, even if, yes, he was initially trading for secrets and then have this turnaround because he realizes kind of almost too late, let's say, that his conscience catches up to him. He's like, I can't fucking do this. Or this is the last straw kind of thing. Like, it would have been nice to have kind of seen that or explored that more instead of us fucking about with Dustin Hoffman in uni and him trying to get this girlfriend. And like,
that was I don't care.
And then, oh, let's go to his history lecture here where we're all very intelligent and blah blah blah. And like,
oh,
who cares?
No, is this lady in with the Nazis? I don't know.
Yeah, does it matter? Like, she's
there's
no real purpose to have that character in it. Yeah. I don't think either. I don't know, she kind of seems like it almost feels like a studio addition to it or something, but it's probably not. I don't know, this is based on a novel, isn't it?
I think all three, well, the first, I think this is, and I think the Odessa File is as well.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if The Boys from Brazil is based on a novel or not.
Yeah.
I probably should have looked that up beforehand, but hey, who knows? I looked up the other two and not The Boys from Brazil for some reason.
The other two, give me a chance.
Give me a chance here. I know we're recording now, but here, give me a chance to go do some research.
But I think we're in agreement. The second half, maybe you shouldn't say that it makes up for the really, really slow first half, but I kind of feel it does. I kind of feel it does kind of make up for it in spades and elevates it above. If it had stayed like the way it was at the start, then I would have been just coming on going, this is fucking terrible. Yeah. I fell asleep.
Yeah, I don't think it needed to be as slow and plodding as it was at the beginning or seemingly disparate, but it comes together well eventually, and it comes together very well, and it makes it like a lot easier to like say, to recommend, as it were. Here, you're looking for a Nazi hunting movie? Well, I got one for you. It's a real good one. Oh, good Lord. I feel like I'm always in danger of turning this into a joke at some point.
Yep.
I feel like I always need to stop myself.
Nah, go lean into it.
No. But yeah, it's really good, and I love the end, and we'll talk about the end at the end here. But now I think we should probably move on to probably the most outlandish of our three movies, The Boys from Brazil, which is going to be hard not to talk about spoilers during, because the crux of the film is this weird twist that is like X-Files-ian in its nonsenseness. But anyway, let's move on. All right, once again, no silly lead-in to this, because of the this is the silliest one.
Of all the ones, this you could have a silly lead-in. This is daft.
This is got science fiction elements, and I think I just, at the end of that last segment, invented the phrase X-Filesian.
X-Filesian, ooh.
In the same fashion as Dickensian, but for the X, if something, like, it's out of the X-Files.
Yeah.
But yeah, so
one of the sillier episodes.
Indeed. This is literally the plot of an episode of the X. Well, not with the same DNA source, let's say, but there's an episode of the X-Files, two episodes of the X-Files that explore some similar themes to this.
Yeah.
The Boys from Brazil from 1978, rated X.
Yep.
For some reason. Directed by Franklin J. Schaffner. Log line, the shortest log line of all these. The log lines of all these other ones are like super dense and packed, whereas this is: a Nazi hunter in Paraguay discovers a sinister and bizarre plot to rekindle the Third Reich. Bizarre it is. John, what did you think of The Boys from Brazil?
I mean, again, it had its fair share of pacing problems, but it was kind of enjoyable.
Aye.
There's a lot of good performances. Like, Gregory Peck's kind of unrecognizable.
Aye.
as well as we had been mentioned before, Laurence Olivier as our kind of hero this time,
mm-hmm. yes.
as the Nazi hunter.
Indeed.
It's daft and silly and fun. Like once it gets into, I suppose, big spoiler, but they're trying to clone Hitler.
It's so stupid.
And give him the same upbringing. So they're not sure if they should go for the nature-nurture thing.
Yeah, there's like some argument among them as to whether nature versus nurture and, you know, whether the genetics or whatever. So they're trying to like, it's so dumb.
Yeah.
But again, this is the plot of it. There's an episode of The X-Files called Eve, I think it's called. Or... it's something along those lines. It's basically about this same thing, but it's like a mad doctor cloning herself or some shit. But yeah, they're trying to like craft their upbringing to sort of resemble the larger bullet points of Adolf Hitler's upbringing.
It's like the dad has to die at a certain age and
he has to be so much older than the mother by in this range, and
it's so silly. It's so so daft.
I mean, it kind of makes it like intriguing in the first half when you're like, why do these 94 dudes have to die in this very strict window?
Yep.
It's very stupid. But like when it's revealed, you're like, you kind of go, all right, I guess it makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, in as much as there is a reason for that. But it is quite intriguing in the first half. If you haven't, again, I've seen this before, so I know what the thing is.
I mean, I don't think it spoils it too much. Like, again, I don't think I'd seen it before, actually, but I knew that the big twist in it, supposedly, so I knew it was coming.
Right.
And it's kind of not that hidden and doesn't make much
surprising.
Of a difference. Yeah,
no.
But, I mean, it's just ridiculous anyway.
Yeah, it's absolutely very silly. And we have a little sort of, I don't know, is this the first role of Steve Guttenberg?
It seems like it could be, yeah.
Is this the beginning of his reign of terror? Is it? Oh, God.
Oh, dear. He's terrible.
He's absolutely dreadful. He is just like, he's just rubbish.
Yeah.
And I kind of hate every movie that he's like a star in, you know? Like, people have like fond memories of those Three Men and a movies.
Oh, yes,
like, Three Men and a Baby and Three Men and a Little Lady. But having rewatched them semi recently, I can tell you, they're absolute dribbling shite. Especially the second one.
Wait, is there three of them?
There's Three Men. I don't know if there's three films.
Okay,
there's two films.
I must have misheard you. I thought you were like saying there was a trilogy. I was going, I don't think I've ever seen...
No. It's drooling nonsense crap. The first one is kind of, isn't it funny that Tom Selleck is having to look after this kid for Ted Danson, who doesn't know he has a kid.
Yeah.
Haha, that's been dumped on them. And there's some shit there. But all the stuff with Steve Guttenberg's hateful. And then the second one, I got after 15 minutes, I was like, this is absolutely unwatchable. And anything else he's been in is pretty much all shite. So, fuck Steve Guttenberg, I guess. But he's okay in this because he gets murdered.
Jeez. You have a choice, Nazis or Steve Guttenberg. What do you take?
Oh, well, no, that's an easy choice. You know, I will let Guttenberg survive in that scenario.
I don't know. You seem kind of hard on him there.
Yeah, it was, but that's just how strongly I feel about Nazis.
I do like whenever he's spying on them and they kind of catch wind of it and they're looking for the bug. And
oh,
it's this
God,
big
it's
massive
huge.
Tape recorder. Like they're checking all these like wee random corners and like everywhere else, but under the stairs, this big massive fucking
thing. Huge.
It's ridiculous.
Like, I mean, it's a movie. They could have done a fiction. They're already going full sci-fi nonsense yeah. with it. They didn't have to build one that was, like, realistically big in the 70s. They could have made a wee thing, but they didn't. They got this huge thing. He's sitting in the garden behind a tree. That is, it's not like he's in a dense clump of trees. Yeah. He's just behind a not very big or wide tree with a transistor radio turned all the way up.
Yep.
On the grounds that they're having the meeting, listening in. It's fucking stupid. I almost think that's this film's charm, is how fucking stupid it consistently is. But he's, it's dreadful, and there's all this stuff that's kind of really annoying, actually. Every time he tries to contact the Nazi hunter, Ezra Lieberman, mm-hmm. played by Laurence Olivier, there's always something distracting him or annoying him, or yep. it's too loud for him to really hear. And also, he just constantly makes a dick out of him, yep. where he's like, I've discovered that the Nazis are hiding out here in Paraguay. And he's like, I know shit, mate. We know. You're not telling me anything new. You need to get out of there because they're going to kill you. Yep. And he just, every time, he's like, have you not left yet? They're going to kill you. You're going to die. So it's not like it's a spoiler or a surprise when he is killed.
Yeah. Oh, it telegraphs that so early
yeah,
on.
Yeah, it is absolutely so obvious. And like, but I think, I think Gregory Peck, as the awful, 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 awful Mengele,
yeah,
is very good. He's this wonderfully imposing villain, the way he plays him.
Yeah, almost very, like very a good. Bond villain.
Absolutely, which again makes it more silly and cartoonish.
Yeah,
than the other films. Although there's some cartoonish stuff in the Odessa file regarding the spy craftiness of it.
Oh yeah,
like,
yeah,
that I did find amusing. But also very cool and good. Whereas the cartoonishness in this is just like, lads, come on, lads.
Yep.
Really, lads? Really? Oh my God, what nonsense. but I'm going to say, I did still kind of like this film.
Yeah.
Even though it's stupid. And I think it's really funny, but also really like appropriate that the kid who is playing the cloned kid Hitler and all these different families is such an obnoxious little twat.
Yeah.
They are not shy about being like, yeah, this is Adolf Hitler. He's a selfish, self-obsessed, amoral, conscienceless little fucker.
Yep.
And that's just how he is. And like, this is their idol. Here's the greatest. Oh, look how amazing he is. And he's like, he's just this snot-nosed little prick.
Yep.
You're like, yeah, you know what? That's probably what he was like.
Yeah.
Given his behavior. He was just a snot-nosed little prick who was able to give speeches well mm-hmm. and got into power and then got carried away on the smell of his own farts, basically. And that's my quick capsule review of Adolf fucking Hitler. There you go. You can fucking record that one and fucking replay it all yeah. you want. Yeah, you just imagine him just huffing his farts under the covers every fucking morning like a wee fucking pervert before he took his fucking daily dose of speed and got up to meet the day. You little prick. Oh.
Yeah.
In fact, I think my favorite, if we want to talk about depictions of Hitler, John.
Ooh.
My favorite, I think, is if you've played, well, no, you almost certainly have, the Wolfenstein, The New Colossus.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
There is, it's probably my favorite portrayal of anyone ever doing Adolf Hitler, is this gibbering, psychotic, just completely just drooling, moronic head case
yeah.
that is just fucking, again, full of his own shit.
Yeah.
It's absolutely brilliant. But I think the kid that they get in this, I think he's brilliant.
He's fantastic.
He plays it really well.
He's hateful on sight.
Yeah, I fucking hated him. I hated him so much.
Speaking of depictions of Hitler, the guy who yeah. plays Hitler in Falling Down is in this as a as like the scientist that Lieberman goes to ask a few questions. Yeah, forget the guy's name. Yeah, I'm not Bruno Ganz, who's also
He's in Sky Over Berlin.
Yes,
and or God, what was the title of that? We reviewed this and everything. Yeah. I just called Sky Over Berlin now.
Yeah,
I know it was like City of Angels in the remake. The remake with Nicolas Cage in it that was absolute shite. Why can't we remember?
Wings of Desire.
Wings of Desire. My God. Wings of Desire. It was nice to see him. Yeah. I was like, there he is. Look at him.
Yeah. So he had a particularly good depiction of Hitler and falling down when he's freaking out and being an absolute cunt.
Yeah, he's brilliant. Fuck, he's fucking great in this.
Great
he's he's got a lot of charisma.
Yeah,
he can really pull it together. It was lovely to see him. But yeah, this film's really. I mean, it's kind of all about like, look at this Mengele man in his big white suit. I think you nailed it, John, when you said he was like a Bond villain.
Yeah.
Because it didn't occur to me until you said it there, and I was like, he's like Dr. No or something.
Yeah.
The way he's strolling about the place in his big white suit. He's fucking ludicrous, but like, you know, and he's being played in this sort of way by Gregory Peck.
But you're right, and like, he's super imposing, and he plays it very well, where even just him on screen, even if there is no one kind of you care about coming to an end, you just get the sense that no one's really safe with him. He's just this fucking opportunistic prick, and he's just so laser focused on.
Yeah, he's obsessed with this one thing.
Yeah, which is
getting
ridiculous.
This stupid project done. Which, to be honest, from what I know of the man, a lot of the stuff he did was pointless and stupid.
Yeah,
and ludicrous, and not based in science at all.
Yeah.
Absolute fucking butcher is what he was.
The way, I think I said Bruno Ganz was in Falling Down. I think it's actually called Downfall.
That didn't twig with me.
Yeah.
But yes, he's in Downfall.
Falling Down.
Yeah, they call it Der Untergein, and then you don't make that mix up.
Yeah, there we go.
Yes, he was Hitler in Der Untergein. Did he also play Hitler in Inglourious Bastards? I think that's him as well, getting gunned down in the cinema in Inglourious Bastards. Yeah. I think it's him in that too.
Oh.
But he is, yes, he is fucking unbelievable in Der Untergein. He is just like, again, a methed out head case. That seems to be the tenor of the man, is an unhinged, divorced from reality, methed out head case who shouldn't have ever been in the position that he was.
Yep.
But again, and that's what Mengele is trying to recreate in this sci-fi nonsense movie about Nazi clones.
It's enjoyable, like seeing Lieberman kind of piece it together as well as he travels around the world, and it goes, wait a minute, that kid has a fucking twin in Germany. It's like, oh.
Like, this is weird and ridiculous,
and
I know it, and it's stupid that I'm putting this together, but this is their plan, apparently. It's dumb, dumb plan.
Yep.
Absolute nonsense. I do find, again, this is another one where I do kind of find the ending quite satisfying.
Yes, yeah.
They do sort of revel, let's say, in the comeuppance. And once again, it's one of those things that it's more frustrating from a view of, we know, especially with Mengele, that didn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he had died, I think it was a year after this came out.
Yeah.
That he actually did die of natural causes, swimming off the coast of somewhere in South America. And it just he was like buried under another name. And then so many years later, they dug up the corpse.
Yeah.
And I don't want to say they dug up the corpse and put the corpse on trial, but they dug up the corpse and they verified that it was him. And then they dumped him in the ocean somewhere, I think.
Yeah.
which is, I think, what they did with a lot of them. I think they didn't want them buried in anywhere anyone could go and visit.
Yeah.
That any fuckers could go on a pilgrimage to or whatever. But yeah, so I do, again, with these films, I do kind of want to talk about the endings a lot with them. But suffice to say, this movie is very much, again, it's a very X-Files-y plot. Mm-hmm. But I still think it's all right. And it's almost better because it's a pulpy nonsense thing. If you take it as that and you're not taking it too seriously.
Yeah. It could have been a bit shorter, I think. You know, there's a lot of, like, again, as I said, but they all kind of have this, is like, pacing problems. It's probably more like just a 70s thing of just, like, movies were a bit slower back then anyway, you know. And sometimes it worked a lot better than others. I don't think this needed to be, like, a two-hour kind of, especially because of the ridiculousness of it, but... Mm-hmm. Don't think it needed to be 2 hours, but it's fine anyway. It's enjoyable.
Like all these films, I think it's one of those things where maybe at that time, that was the length of film cinemas were expecting to get in.
Yeah.
Like, all these films are about the same length. Mm-hmm. They're all almost, like, I think the Odessa Files 2 hours and 10 minutes, and the other two are 2 hours and 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Both of them. So that's just sort of, again, I think you're right. I think it's the era. Mm-hmm. That is dictating the pacing of the film, which is unfortunate.
Yeah, we just don't have the concentration these days.
Yeah, except every Marvel movie. Every Marvel movie is like 2.5 hours, though.
But
so
flash and lights.
But that's all flash and lights and explosions. Actually,
or what was
right.
it? Scorsese, it's like a roller coaster, and then people, like, loads of fanboys got really annoyed at him.
Really,
it's
annoyed.
Like. Guys, it's Martin Scorsese. He's hardly going to be a fucking Marvel fan.
Yeah, and he is right.
And he's right. He's not saying anything bad about it. He said it's like a road, which it is. It's not exactly 100%. Like Marvel. Like, it's hardly fucking like high cinema.
Yeah, were you going to reference it? It's not exactly good, fellas.
Yeah.
Funnily enough.
It's like what we've said many times. We're like, we like to take movies for what they are. We're like something like... Yeah. Just to bring it back to Boys of Brazil, you're not going to view in the same light as you'll view Schindler's List, for example.
Absolutely not.
One's a very, very serious, hard look at a point in history, and one's kind of this pulpy, like, ridiculous take on an idea.
Yeah. It's like something from, like, Action Comics or something. The Nazi Smashers, you know? It's like, oh, the Nazi zombies. Like, there's a lot of stuff like that in, like, the 50s and 60s and Pulp Fiction.
Yeah.
And, like, it's sort of like you can see the tradition kept alive a wee bit in stuff like Mike Mignola's Hellboy.
Yeah.
He does a lot of stuff like this, but the central premise of that is a big demon man who fights Nazis. So he's going fully in on the ludicrousness and the Nazi smashing and a lot in Hellboy, whereas, and, like, he has this classic hero called Lobster Johnson, who is this sort of pulp hero from the 1940s and 50s who hunted down and killed Nazis in his like big leather jacket and his flight goggles and his little pistol. You know, that character, that's a sort of tribute to the kind of characters from Pulp Fiction of that era. And this feels like it's coming in on the tail end of that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's maybe looking at these other films like The Odessa File and like Marathon Man and being like, let's do that.
Mm-hmm.
But in the spirit, let's do it in the spirit of this other fiction that has existed up to this point involving, like, defeating Nazis after the war. So it's in this middle ground, it feels like, that is not the most stable middle ground, especially when viewed now and you look back at it and you're like, huh, okay, clones, right. Okay, and oh man, really? Oh, and the mapping out his life, nature versus nurture, okay. Like, they're trying to tackle some big issues there, but I don't know if I want to call it ham-fisted. But maybe I do.
I think it is. I think that's what makes it more ridiculous, because you can do, because things like Star Trek are able to kind of do this sci-fi look at different issues and do it well. Like, this is kind of a wee bit too ridiculous, or doesn't handle it in that kind of, in the same way. So the bigger issues it's touching on kind of feel that they're left on the wayside a bit for the more ridiculous aspects of the story.
Yeah,
like, I do think it is ham-fisted in that way, but it's still enjoyable. It's still kind of like, yeah, it's fine. I get what it's going for. It just maybe doesn't hit the mark exactly.
No, it doesn't. And like, if you're coming off, say, watching like Marathon Man or something just before it,
which we were. So.
Yeah, the similarities plus the weird contrasts, they almost stick out more.
Yeah,
like a sore thumb when you think about the tone of it and the length of it and the way the pacing is in it. You're kind of like, it's kind of like Marathon Man in a way, but it's got all this weird stuff.
Yeah.
In it that like seems so ludicrous in contrast, and like, I don't know, like, you're, it's almost like they're joking about it in a way, because you're like, that's fucking daft as fuck. Yep. And the fact that they're like the choice of having Mengele
be the antagonist,
someone as fucking awful and shitty as that, you know, and painting him almost in this, like, it's almost grandiose kind of way, the way he's portrayed. Yeah. This huge, imposing monolith of a figure, you know?
But I suppose in the same sense, it's almost like a fan fiction thing of, this is how I wish he would have died, kind of thing.
Yeah.
Which
again, I appreciate that. And again, that's my favorite thing in the film.
Yeah.
Is the reveling in that part of it towards the end.
If only we could make it canon.
Yeah, if we could make this real world canon, that would be great, but far too fucking late. Like,
yep.
And speaking of which, I really just don't want to talk about the end of these films.
Yeah, I think we should
push on and say that Bush from Brazil has some sci-fi problems, let's say, but otherwise, again, I don't know. I just don't know about it. I just don't know. Well, John, here we are in the final part of the show.
Yay.
Well, we're not fighting anything. We're not trying to get out of anything. We're just going to talk about which is the best film this time, I think.
Yeah.
Because that's less distasteful than the potential conversation that we could have about Nazi war criminals.
And the funny thing is, we still did this for murdered children or whatever.
I know we did. That's the thing, yeah. For the ghost children, it was so, that whole episode was just like, every time we tried to talk about it, I was like, I would just get halfway through and be like, this is awful. But we're not bothering this time, obviously. But John, so which of these films was the best of the films, do you think? And I think it's probably the Marathon Man.
Yeah. See, I think so. I think I had more. I was about to say fun. I think I enjoyed the Odessa file more. But I think because so much of the Marathon Man was a letdown, like that whole first half, as we kept saying, yes, the second half made up for it, but it still kind of left a bad taste in my mouth. I was still like kind of sitting there going, I don't know, I did have to, like, quote unquote, suffer through that first half. And it's like, I do think it's really badly done in the sense that, like, from a storytelling perspective, it doesn't let you know how anyone's related. It's just showing you events and expecting you to know who's who and what's happening and why, and that's not great. We're at least the Odessa file and the boys from Brazil kind of, they slowly like spoon feed you the information and the characters and kind of why such and such is going to get involved, and it makes more sense. I don't know.
Yeah, I think in the Marathon Man they could have not they could have not introduced Dustin Hoffman's character until
The
time that Roy Scheider goes to meet him.
Yep.
They could have had that be the first time that he was in the film, but they started off with him pretty much. They have him be the protagonist, and you know, sometimes it's grand to just be like, oh, the person I thought who was the protagonist has died.
Yeah.
And now we're with this other, we're with his brother. I mean, that's sort of, that's what happens in Psycho.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
In Psycho, you have the person who they think is the star. You know, you get Janet Leigh.
Yeah.
Who was, like, famous. And then you think it's following her and following her. And then she gets murdered in 15 minutes in or whatever.
Spoilers for Psycho.
Yeah. And you're like, what the fuck? And then it turns out she's not the protagonist, you know?
Yeah.
It's her sister then shows up, and the private eye that the sister hired. And, like, that's a really good... I mean, Alfred Hitchcock was a dick, but he fucking knew story structure really well, you know?
Yeah, and it was one of the best decisions for it, because exactly what you said, she was the big star. So you just...
Aye.
You automatically just think, yeah, well, she's obviously surviving, because that's the big name.
Absolutely, but then you're like, oh, no! Yeah. But, again, so it's okay to, like, switch protagonists and stuff and be like, oh, wow, I didn't see that coming.
Yeah.
But it is what it is, and the second half is great. But, again, I'm going to talk about the ends of all these films now.
Yeah.
Because, for me, it's almost the most important part of each of these is the way they end. Because it is, like, this sort of justice fantasy plays out at the ends of all these films.
Yeah.
So, we'll start by talking about, like, The Boys from Brazil. So, I thoroughly enjoy watching Joseph Mengele be viciously savaged to death by German attack dogs.
Yeah.
That's really good. And the fact that shitty little Hitler is just watching.
Yep.
And you're like, aye, that's the arsehole I assumed he always was.
Yeah, while he tries to appeal to him and go, oh, you're going to be so great. And it's like, doesn't even care because the wee shitbag's a fucking psycho.
Yeah, whereas the other guy's kind of like, I know I can't, this kid's a sociopath. Like, this kid's a sociopath. I'm like, I'm going to ask him to call me an ambulance, but I'm going to try and convince him to kill this guy first, please. Because that's the important thing right now, is that Mengele doesn't get out of this fucking room alive. And he has to negotiate with this little shitbag to get him to call him an ambulance.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, this guy's fucking horrible. And whether or not that answers the nature-nurture question that they're pretending to ask for the film, I don't know.
Yeah, was he just evil genetically?
Yeah, was he just genetically little shit? I don't know. But that is thoroughly enjoyable. Now, when it comes to the comeuppance of our Nazi war criminals and the Odessa file and the Marathon Man, I think I more enjoyed the comeuppance of Marathon Man.
Yeah.
They really revel in having him squirm.
Yeah.
In a way that I find incredibly satisfying. And in the Odessa file, he doesn't, like, you know, he's not like, he's holding him up there and, like, John Voight's got him at gunpoint, and he's like, yeah, admit it, you know, admit who you are, and blah, blah, blah. And then the guy is trying to negotiate his way out of it, and he's squirming and he's begging.
He tries a few different things, yeah. He tries to
his tactics.
Yeah. Like, he's trying to feel out John Voight's character as well, like, you know, kind of seeing if he's prideful for is he patriotic and all that kind of shit, you know. He's like, but look how strong you are,
strong,
that's because of us. He's like,
generation.
Going, fuck you horrible shitbag.
Yeah, you fucking pile of bollocks. But my favorite is the Marathon Man, the whole sequence in that, like, water treatment place. It's in, like, around Central Park, and he's got him in there, and it's the fact that he's so invested in these diamonds. He wants these diamonds, and, like, he's really, like, obsessed with, like, I need to get the money from these diamonds, and I need to hide myself at the same time. And he brings him in the thing, and I just loved every time he just would, like, throw a bunch of diamonds out in the grill floor, and they'd all fall through, and he'd be scrambling down on the floor, and he's just like, oh yeah, and, like, throwing them at him, and, like, just really letting him sit in it,
eat them.
Yeah, eat them. That was my favorite thing, where he's like, you can have as many as you can swallow.
Yep.
It's like, absolutely brilliant. Again, and that was the point where I was like, I remember why I love this film.
Yeah.
It's because of this. And like the lead, whole lead up to it is brilliant as well. Like, again, as I said before, the part where he gets the guy in the jewelers, recognizes him, and he gets recognized in the street by that woman. And like, it is that whole scene is fucking heart-wrenching. Especially at its conclusion of that scene, it's infuriating as well. But it's so good. Everybody's fucking fantastic in that scene. It's really, really powerful. But I do love seeing him crawl like a fucking worm. And yeah, like you said, as soon as he's like, you can have as many as you can swallow.
And Dustin Hoffman's great in that. And
yeah,
like he's the real manicness behind it all, because like he's been tortured for so long, and not only that, but he knows who this fucking horrible bastard is. So he's just taking it all out in him, and it's like, yes, justified rage.
A wee bit of personal revenge, because he was fucking tortured by him as well. Like, he's drilling into his teeth and then like washing it out with stuff that makes it hurt more. And they were like, oh, do you want a wee clove thing to ease the pain? And then he's like, he's doing that for the rest of the film, because you can tell his teeth are just fucked up for the rest of the film. He's just constantly like taking nips of the thing to keep the pain in his teeth down. It's like, it's absolutely fucking excruciating. And again, of course, the great scene that, is it safe?
Yeah.
Is it safe? And it's so frustrating.
Yeah.
It's so frustrating because he's trying to answer him and he doesn't know what the fuck he's talking about. Like, that's infuriating, dude. Yeah. So, yeah, I am a little bit torn between the two of them, because I like how the Marathon Man ends a lot.
Yeah.
But I like all the silly spycraft stuff in the Odessa file quite a lot, too. But I think I like Marathon Man more, just because I find the ending so satisfying.
Yeah.
I find the ending to be really satisfying.
They're very close for me as well, and I do think it is. It's probably as well, like, there was different points in the Odessa file where it reminded me of games that I love, where at the very start, there's like, where he has like the voiceover thing, if I hadn't pulled over at that exact time, blah, blah, blah. And I was just like, that's very Broken Sword, the way this is all happening. And so there must have been like a wee nostalgia hit there. And then we had mentioned earlier, off camera, I was about to say.
Off mic,
that's the word. About how there's a certain point where it's almost like Hitman, where he's like sneaking in.
Is that the video game Hitman?
That was kind of enjoyable. This is like going, that'd be a really good level for that, which that'd is a really terrible thing to say while watching.
But I mean, like, in a way, like, for like killing Nazis, I mean, there is a sort of a Hitman game. The Sniper Elite is a Hitman game for killing Nazis, and that's a game where I thoroughly enjoyed doing, because that game is so gratuitous. Talking about like the gratuitous endings of these movies, in as much as you want to call them gratuitous, which some of them are, but in a way that feels justified, to be honest. They do that really well in Sniper Elite. They do that really well. There was extra DLC portion in, I think, the fourth one. There was a thing that was like, it was called Kill Hitler.
Yeah.
And it was just you going and assassinating Hitler in all these different ways. And like, they do all that, they do that real, like, where they revel in it, this slow motion as the bullet just drives through him. That's just a theme of those games. But for some reason, it felt way more pointed when you were doing the Kill Hitler mission.
Yeah.
And they had accurately modeled the fact that he only had one testicle. And there was a special achievement for hitting it, because you could miss it. If you missed it, you only had like the left one or something. So if it goes through the right one, it doesn't actually, you don't get the achievement.
Oh, Jesus.
Because it's not there. Absolutely. So it's dumb shit like that. So I feel like that trades a little bit in the silliness of, say, a Boys from Brazil, maybe.
Yeah.
Which again is something that I do appreciate in fiction a lot.
Yeah, I mean, but you should still be able to take these kind of serious things and put these ridiculous slants on them as well. Like, it's a way of dealing with it as much as anything.
Yeah, again, as I said before, like, Hellboy's deals with Nazis on a semi-regular basis.
Yeah.
And I fucking love those Hellboy comics. Like, and they're great.
It's also a good kind of combative way to take the opposite view of these people who revere him for some reason, these shitbags. Now, it's just like, make a joke out of him. Like,
yeah,
he's
their
just...
portrayal of Hitler is brilliant.
Yeah.
In the form of these cloned kids.
Yeah.
Because you're like, he was a pathetic fucking... he was a narcissistic, just conscienceless, selfish little shit.
Yeah.
And that's all he ever fucking was.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like all of these histories, so-called strongmen, as they like to call it. Like Vladimir Putin right now, and Donald Trump is one of those guys. And he's no different.
Yeah.
He's no different from this guy. Stalin was the same. Stalin was all pomp and shouting and, you know, making a big fucking show, because really the man inside is this pathetic, tiny little worm.
Yeah. It's like that whole idea, like, the people who are in power should almost be people who don't want it, because anyone who do want it are going to be like these people, are going to be narcissistic fucking tyrants, going to be absolute assholes. Like, so the people that don't want that kind of power should be the ones actually given it. To be like,
because
they'll be the ones that'll go, okay, I'll just look at it as a job, which it fucking should be.
Yeah, it's like, you know, it's a huge responsibility, and they don't take it like it's a huge responsibility. They act like they won a fucking popularity contest, which unfortunately is kind of what's happened.
Yeah.
In a lot of these cases, it's not about whether they'll be good at the job. It's whether you've been fooled by them into thinking that they're quote-unquote strong, when usually they are the weakest of all of us.
Yeah.
Certainly in mind and fortitude and ability to do the job well.
And empathy.
And zero empathy. Yeah, oh my God. Anyway, we got real dark. I promise, whatever the next topic is going to be so much more upbeat.
Yeah, it has to be. The next one's going to be our 100th episode, I think.
I know. I think it's like a real contrast. The last week we did dancers and dancing movies. And then we just fell into Nazi war criminals.
Next week is dancing Nazis.
Yeah, oh my God. Well, actually, we could do the producers as that in it, actually. That's a pretty good one. I haven't seen that in a long time. But I don't know if there's enough in that so-called genre to make a 3-movie comparison. But anyway, so I'm going to go with Marathon Man.
Yeah.
For which
definitely,
the one I think
yeah, it was
best,
but... it was a close race, but I'm going to go for Odessa.
Yeah, but they're both very good. I think the Marathon Man ends the strongest,
definitely.
But the Odessa file, for the most, had me engaged for the greatest amount of the body of the film.
Yeah,
the Odessa file.
I'm a sucker for those kind of, like, you know, as the mystery unravels and as he's getting closer to it. The tension builds up. Like, I definitely am. It was more my kind of thing, I think.
Aye. And it's good that the mystery isn't fucking stupid like it is in The Boys from Brazil. It's really fucking stupid.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Yeah, so there we go. We're not picking a singular film to do whatever.
What movie
it is
helps you hunt Nazis? That
no, we're not doing that, because that's just ridiculous.
You don't need it now. You just go on X, and people are
they're all there.
Yeah, they don't try to hide it anymore, so it's fine.
Yeah, X. Are we just calling it X now?
I don't know.
Twit-exeter. I like Twit-exeter.
Twit-exeter.
Yeah. That's like it's a place. It's like a place in the Midlands in England somewhere.
Yeah.
Twit-exeter. Yeah. So, we are not on Twit-exeter, but we have a Twit-exeter account that, again, this is like episode 5 or 6 of me saying I still haven't fucking deleted it. I might do that today, actually.
Yeah.
I might go on today and just put on some kind of like see you later but won't see you later people on here goodbye.
Yep.
But we're on Instagram, go follow us there. This Week's Apocalypse. We're great. I don't know how I'm going to pull like a funny reel out of this one.
Yeah.
But I'll find something. I'll maybe do a best of other episodes, because this one's been fucking miserable. But anyway, we'll be back in 2 weeks with something way more lighthearted.
Yeah.
All right. Bye.